Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game.
All right, folks, it is time for Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live, and it's been a couple of weeks. We've been off. It's been busy at work. Last week, I was seeing my son get married, and now they're both, my son and daughter, married and, you know, having their own lives. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host, and Jeffrey, it was... Quite the week and weekend last week.
Wow. And, you know, Rob, I'll tell you, first of all, before anything, I want to just say congratulations. And, you know, if you had waited just another week, you know, maybe you could have had the Pope perform the ceremony. But, you know.
That's true. However, the priest did present my son and daughter-in-law with a papal blessing. It's actually a framed blessing with the Pope's picture and signature and all that stuff on it, and presented it to them on their wedding day. So the Pope kind of was there. What?
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's wonderful. Now the house is empty.
Well, the house has been
empty. You kicked out the last one.
Yeah, the house has been empty for a while. I mean, yeah, my son is 20, and he's been out of the house for probably 6 years now, five or six.
Yeah, we're older. I guess we're getting older than I think, right? Is that it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Time's kind of put away on.
Right, that's right. All right, well, there's plenty to talk about. First of all, we'll just... let's just pause for a second. Well, not pause, but let's just mention that, of course, Yogi Berra did go home to glory this past week at the age of 90. And I guess that's kind of sad, but he had a good long life. So that's a happy thing, and lots of memories. And, of course, everyone's, you know, bringing out the Yogiisms. And, of course, we know that with, I don't know, several months ago we had – forget the guy's name, but the guy that runs the Yogi Berra Museum there in, I think, in New York. And we talked all about him then. But, you know, rest in peace, Yogi.
Yeah. You know, when you think of the number of records that he holds pre-playoff format, you know, in the old format, you know, where the winner of both leagues went to the World Series and everybody else went home, and the number of games – And all the career records he holds in postseason for that era, I mean, it's just absolutely incredible.
Yeah. No, yeah. And what is he? He's one of, I think, six managers that took both an American League and a National League team to the World Series, I think something like that. So, you know, he was quite the guy, quite a player, quite a coach, manager, and quite the innovator of the English language, as it were.
Absolutely. And rest in peace.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Well, and then, of course, the Yankees are honoring him. I think they're wearing the number 8 patch on their – I think it's their left sleeve of the jersey. They'll do that for the rest of the season. And, you know, lots of good memories with Yogi Berra. Let's stay with baseball right now because, you know, the last time we talked was all gloom and doom for the Baltimore Orioles. And while I still think it's a huge long shot that they'll make the playoffs, they have been playing a lot better as of late. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think they're 10 wins out of the last 14 games now, I believe. And at the moment, they're attempting a sweep of the Washington Nationals, which of course will make our brothers and sisters in the South here none too happy. And by the way, if you're out there listening, Carol Stack Tilford, call in and talk to us about the Nats. The Nats, I guess, are still in contention, aren't they, for a playoff spot?
Yes, and of course, and more importantly, the Orioles are only four games back in the wild card.
Yeah, but they got a bunch of teams to hurdle. So we'll see. Yeah. They just need to keep playing good ball, and right now they seem to be doing that. Talk a little bit about last night's game. They went up 2-0, then they were down 3-2. And, boy, I tell you, the at-bat that Manny Machado had last night, was able to get the count all the way to 3-2. I believe that's right. And then Scherzer threw one, fat one right over the plate, and Manny did not miss it, man. He just put it right out center field. And you knew it. As soon as he hit that ball, I knew that thing was gone. And that put the Orioles up 4-3, and that's how they were going to finish that game. But then a little drama, excitement, Jeff.
Do you think that home run set Machado up for what happened later?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Bryce Harper even said as much in the post game. He didn't pull any punches over the fact that Manny hit a home run, and so he was going to get hit. Now, I don't think Manny had necessarily a problem with getting hit as much as it was that he was throwing at his head. That's where we can have that conversation. As far as pitchers and hitting, and by the way, we just have an update. Jonathan Scope just hit a home run. It's now 3-0 Baltimore in the top of the fourth. So Jonathan Scope comes through with a 2-run shot to put the Orioles up 3-0.
But
they're
wanted to get back to Machado because he went up against one of the game's better known closers, and certainly someone who's had a lot of experience in some tough situations, and Jonathan Papelbon. Papelbon threw that first pitch to Machado up and in. Wasn't at his head, but it was a fastball.
Yeah,
and then managed to get a strike on the second pitch, which is a curveball.
Right,
and then went back to the fastball up and in, but this time was at his head. Was that necessarily a pitch with a purpose, or was it? Was it something that he was just trying to throw up and in, but not necessarily throw at his head, and it just kind of got away?
Well,
the guy with his experience.
Yeah, maybe he wasn't throwing at his head, but he was throwing to hit him, and I believe that, and I'm pretty sure that's essentially what Bryce Harper was saying in the post game interview. Basically everybody knows you hit a home run in that situation, you're gonna get hit your next time up. And I wonder if we don't see more of that happen this afternoon as the Orioles are playing. And again, lead the Nats 3-0. We might see some Manny getting thrown at again. Or maybe Scope will get thrown at. I don't know. But
I'll tell you what, I think some umpires are going to be quick on the trigger as far as throwing anybody out on either side when it comes to this kind of activity.
Yeah, look, I don't think anybody complains necessarily about getting hit by a pitch after a home run. I think what the players want to argue about and complain about, and rightly so, is that the pitch that they're getting hit with is headed toward their head. And yeah. So you know what? You're going to throw at him, throw at his butt, you know, throw at his thigh, you know, whatever. But don't throw at his head. And I don't know that Papelbon was doing that. Like you said, maybe it just got away from him. The one he threw before was up and in. Maybe he just hadn't gotten command, you know, of his pitches at that point in the game. And he was, you know, trying to keep the ball down, but he couldn't keep it down. It went up and hit him in the shoulder, and certainly looked like it was headed towards his head. So, you know, we'll see, but that's what Manny was all upset about. And by the way, while we're talking about Manny and umpires and that game last night, there was a, I don't know if you saw it or not, but, looks like Jeff is jumping in here, but I'll get him in here in a second. But there was a, an at-bat earlier where Manny, tried to call time. And the pitcher had started into his windup, and the umpire did not grant time, and Manny stepped out of the box. The ball came right down the plate, was strike three, and Manny was out, and Manny wanted to complain about it. Well, as an umpire, I got to tell you something, guys. You cannot call for time when the pitcher goes into their windup. And there's a very good reason. I mean, you know, the umpire has to grant time anyway in any situation. So you can't just assume that because you put your hand up and ask for time, you've been granted time. You got to wait for the umpire to call time. Otherwise, stay in there and swing the bat. But, you know, one of the things that as umpires we're looking at is when the pitcher starts into his windup, you're not going to grant time. Now, I know that MLB umpires do this a lot, maybe all the time. But you don't want to do that. And the reason, Jeff, you don't want to do that is because you can get a pitcher hurt with them going into their windup and then you calling time and them stopping their motion and all that stuff. They can get hurt that way. And so, you're not going to grant that time. All right. Let's see. Let's bring in Philly Jeff. What's going on, Jeff?
Let's see. Let's turn the compass north. Hey, let's turn the compass north. Let's see, bad and worse, and then let's take it south again, and it's bad and worse. Come on, you think?
Well,
the Eagles read their press clippings. Oh, no, they're going to win the Super Bowl. Here's a tip, win a game.
Yeah.
Remember the last time the Eagles were supposed to win the Super Bowl, and they had a lot of hype there at the beginning of the season, and I don't know if we're running into this again.
Well, hey guys, here's a news flash. Not only did the Eagles get that memo, but so did the Ravens, because there's a lot of people out there that were picking the Ravens to be in the Super Bowl this year, and you know, they've made a couple of eggs as well. So neither team is off to a very good start. And, you know, Jeff Dyer, I was really wondering if you were going to call in because, you cannot be happy about what's going on there in the NFC East right now.
Well, but look at it this way. Let's consider the following. The other team that they mentioned in the mix is also 0-2, if I recall correctly, out there in Seattle land.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. That's right. And but everyone is looking to that as being, and who knows, we'll find out, I guess. But everybody's looking at that as being a result of not having Cam Chancellor in the first two games, and now they've come to an agreement, and Chancellor's back in the fold. And you know, we'll see how the Seahawks do. But, you know, maybe that is and maybe it isn't. But with the Eagles, they're not missing any parts that I know of. It's just that they haven't been able to put it together on the field, right?
Well, they're whoever's calling the offensive plays for that team, you know, they have to think about, you know, how is it that you get the best running back in football and he has less than – God, what does he have? Less than 30 yards rushing in two games combined.
Well, at one point, I think I saw that he had 11 carries and 12 yards.
Exactly. And I mean, that's
yeah. I
and
don't,
yet,
I I don't know what's going on there. And the other thing is, you got to give the ball to Murray. He's got to run. He's got to touch the ball 20 times a game. And what does that do with your other running backs? So I'm not sure how they're going to figure that all out. But you're right. They got to figure that out, and they got to get the ball into the hands of the guys that are going to make the plays.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, when they wheel him out of the backfield and pass to him, he looks okay. And the other guy, of course, that you know, just put him out there and run him. Is Darren Sproles. The guy's 100 years old, and he's fabulous. If
right.
you took him out, I don't think we'd have any points at all. You know, it's what it is. I mean, then the other thing is we took Byron Maxwell from Seattle and paid him $60 million, and he might be the new Nnamdi Asamoah. He got torched for, he got torched in both games, you know?
Yeah.
All he needs is to go out there and shake his hands a little bit, and he will be Nnamdi.
Yeah, he has not looked very good, has he? And that's that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Well, let's hope the Eagles figure it out. Tonight we've got the Redskins and the Giants. Somebody's going to beat up on somebody else. I tell you what, the Redskins actually are looking pretty good so far this season, and the Giants look like their terrible self. So what do you guys think of Jeff Coles? Any ideas, any thoughts on tonight's game, who's going to come out and play and who won't?
Well, this is going to be the Giants generally aren't that good in the early part of the season anyway. And, we're looking at another opportunity for Kirk Cousins to, establish himself as the number one in Washington. And if he doesn't, they still got RG3 waiting in the wings. So
they don't want him to get hurt. It'll be interesting. The Washington defense looks this year looks like it's doing what it has been projected to do in previous years and never has lived up to it. But we'll see. The Giants are 0-2 and the Redskins 1-1. Is that right, Jeff Dyer?
Yes, that's correct. And I'm glad you said that Kirk Cousins is number one and RG is number two, because that's how he plays.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. So if the Redskins win, they're going to be tied with the Cowboys for first place.
Wow.
Actually, that would put them ahead of the Cowboys, right?
Actually, right. And you're right. That would put them ahead. And the Cowboys play, I forget who they play. Detroit? Is that? No.
No, somebody else.
Don't recall.
I didn't know this.
Anyway, that'll be interesting because, of course, Tony Romo now on the sideline with a broken collarbone and out at least 8 weeks. So that means Brandon Weeden. But the Cowboys also went out. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but the Cowboys went out and traded for Matt Cassel.
That's a good trade for them because it gives them a good proven steady guy they can bring in case Brandon Weeden doesn't because Brandon Weeden's just too erratic.
And I was looking at some of the stats earlier today. What's his name? Matt Cassel has a pretty low quarterback rating, but guess who is lower than him? Brandon Weeden.
Sam Bradford.
No, Brandon.
Eagles.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see Matt Cassel quarterbacking the Cowboys. And he actually fits better for that their style, that kind of little dink and dunk game that they like to play down the field. I mean, they do try and throw the ball. Of course, they have to throw it too deep anymore with Dez Bryant on the sideline as well. Cowboys are in trouble, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's talk about another team that appears to be in trouble, and that would be the Baltimore Ravens, who could have and should have probably won both of their games, but cannot figure out how to do that. The first week, obviously, no offense. Great defense, no offense. This past week, great offense, no defense. You know, the last time the Ravens scored 33 points and threw for 350 yards and all of that good stuff was back in year one of the Baltimore Ravens when Vinny Testaverde was throwing to Michael Jackson, and they would score 34 points and lose every week by 7 or 3 points because teams were putting up 37 and 40 points on them every week. So they got to figure something out this week. Now, there are some changes that have been made. Obviously, we know Terrell Suggs went out with the injury last week, or the week before, I guess. And they brought in – now, here's try to help me with this. They go out and they sign Jason Babin, and then last week he's inactive. I can't figure that one out, especially when you look at the Ravens' defense against the Oakland Raiders was milquetoast, basic, we're not trying to confuse anybody defense. All they had to do was whisper in Jason Babin's ear, go rush the quarterback. He didn't have to know a scheme. He didn't have to know anything. All he had to know was go rush the quarterback, which is what he was brought in to do. But he was inactive, so can't figure that one out. The Ravens this week go out and trade with the Miami Dolphins to get Will Davis in, a cornerback that had an ACL problem last year. And we also have learned that Breshad Perriman, the star wide receiver that's never, you know, played a down in the NFL, or even practiced, is finally on the practice field. So, my goodness, Jeff Coles, thoughts about any and all of that?
Well, Perriman did practice one day. And that
yes,
was
the
it.
First
day, boom. You know, Will Davis was somebody that the Ravens actually liked, you know, when he was coming out of college at Utah State.
Yeah.
You know, last week, come on, that the defense really, I mean, they were getting burned time and again. You know, the secondary, they need somebody to wake them up, and perhaps bringing in a Will Davis and bringing in a little more competition is going to do that. Yeah, I mean, I was really.
I wasn't sure. I mean, Jimmy Smith, Ladarius Webb, those guys I thought were like studs and had played pretty well. I don't know why we got burned in the secondary last week. And there, you know, the question is it because there was no rush and Derek Carr had all day to throw the ball and wasn't confused? It really is kind of amazing that the week before, the defense that they put in there confused Peyton Manning. Now,
yes.
granted, Peyton Manning missed some passes, but I like to think that he missed those passes because he had happy feet and he was rushing his throws because he was getting pressured a lot. This week, they put in anything to confuse a second-year quarterback in Derek Carr. And I don't understand.
It was the Ravens' defense, and especially the secondary, that looked confused.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. That's exactly right. If you saw some of the shots in replay and from the long shots, you see guys holding up their hands, looking at each other like, where are you covering? Where am I going to cover? You're absolutely right. They look completely confused, and I don't I don't understand it. I guess Dean Pease has got an answer for some of that, you know? You got any thoughts, Philly Jeff?
Nope. Well, first of all, how's the best way to put it? Don't expect too much out of Jason Babin. The Eagles gave him his walking papers because he's weighed down by his tats. So, you know, he's not as mobile. He was, and so don't expect anything from him. You know,
well,
and maybe this is the year that the Ravens go 0-16 and they finally get rid of that asshole coach and then we move on.
Wow.
Oh boy.
That dude's a losing hand. I'm sorry. Watch what he does. Here's what he does. He does this every week. Watch it. He blames the refs. Couldn't be his lackadaisical players.
He couldn't be his mismanagement. He didn't blame the refs last week.
No.
Wait a minute.
Who did he blame? Who did he point his finger at? There was a player. You know, maybe he's going to blame, what's his name, Stevie Biscuits? Stevie Biscuits.
Yep. All right. I'm about to hit the dump button on you today.
Anytime you're ready. Okay? I liven up this show. I make it worth listening to.
You do.
That's why I tune in.
Hey, think about the alternative. You got a guy who lives in, dare I say, Ohio? Excitement capital of what? I can go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and see a bunch of dead people. Ho, ho! Whee!
Yeah.
Man, and by the way, this was weird. Remember, we were just a couple weeks ago, we had that excellent guy in who was running the Yogi Berra thing, and then Yogi died. I'm like, man, that sucks. That broke my heart this week.
So you're saying that this is that there was a correlation between us bringing him on and Yogi Berra passing away?
Well, I think it's kind of the same thing. Dead Ohio and dead Yogi.
I think
about it. You pass through Ohio to get to anywhere. Get me out of here. He said from Bel Air, Maryland, the excitement capital of Harford County.
So what do they do in Bel Air, Maryland?
We got a decoy museum. Talking about dead. Look, plastic ducks. we got nothing. I mean, we really do.
Well, I think we need to get the guy back on that sells the stadium seats. What do you think?
There you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. You know what it is? I think that's the slogan out there in Cleveland. We're Cleveland. We're not Bel Air, Maryland.
Thank God.
I mean,
look, speaking of Cleveland, the Browns look like a pretty good football team at the moment. I'm a little bit concerned.
Well, yeah, their usual fold and die at the beginning of the season. Usually what you expect is the Browns to have some major injuries, you know, during the preseason and just fall apart as they go through the season. But Johnny Manziel actually looked good a couple of times.
Right, and they benched him.
And then what the hell? Oh, you know why? Yeah. They're bringing in the Pope.
Well, that's it.
Who better for a Hail Mary? Think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Or
wait
a prayer.
The Pope. Pope is going to be in Philadelphia this weekend, right? So maybe the Eagles need to get him on the sideline or something.
Yeah.
Well, they want him to bless the playbook.
Yeah. Yeah. But
because they're going to hell.
Yeah. The Pope took one look at that playbook and said, no way I can bless that.
No, but he's willing to sell us an indulgence.
That's right. All right, gentlemen. Who do the Eagles play this week, Jeff?
We play the world famous New York Jets.
Oh, the Jets.
Now the Jets sneaked up on the Colts the surprised them and made Andrew Luck look bad.
Oh, what is going on with the Colts? We don't have time to talk about the Colts, but they look like a number two as well.
Oh, they came out
Luck is awful,
too.
Oh. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm still sad about that one.
All right, so we're out of time. What's your prediction, Philly Jeff, for the Eagles and Jets game?
Well, I'll tell you, the Jets are coached by somebody who used to play for the Eagles. So I'm sorry, used to be an assistant, one of the assistant coaches, Todd Bowles. You know, the key is they have got to keep the ball away from Darrell Revis. That guy is an absolute animal.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll see what we got.
They're gonna win this one. They're gonna be able to take it.
They have to. Truly, if they go 0-3, then you look at some of the rest of their schedule. They play the Patriots. Maybe we run that whole division. I think that's how that works. We got to get something positive out of this. Bradford just has to throw the damn ball, and our main receiver has got to catch the ball. He keeps saying, I got to do better. Yes, you do.
Yep. Well, no doubt the Eagles have to get it turned around, and so do the Ravens. And the Ravens are hosting the Bengals this week. Jeff Coles.
Oh man.
I'm gonna have to say Cincinnati is gonna win this game 31-24.
Well, that's unfortunate. I'm gonna say the Ravens are gonna win because they have to. In fact, they've got to win the next two games, and that is not going to be a very easy task because it's the Bengals on Sunday, and then in a short week on Thursday in Pittsburgh, they got to play the Steelers,
and they need
to win both of those games. If they go 1-3, or obviously 0-4, they go 1-3, they're in deep doo doo. They got to figure out a way to turn it around, and if they don't, we'll be talking hot stove baseball, I think.
That's right.
All right, guys, that's going to do it for today. Good to be with you guys again after a couple weeks off, and let's see if we can't get together again next week and see how things are going. We'll be previewing the Ravens-Steelers game next Thursday, and also looking forward
doing hot stove
playoffs. Yeah. The playoffs are coming up. They start in a week, week and a half now. So lots of stuff to come. All right. Thanks, guys.
Playoffs? Did you say playoffs?
All right, folks. This week's edition of Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. For Philly Jeff Dyer and Jeff Coles, I'm Rob McQuay. You guys have a great week, and we'll see you again next week.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer Guy.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte. The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working.
Working for the man.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy, for it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.